Welcome to the Starsology Astrology Podcast. I am your host, Alison Price, and I'm here once again with my good friend and co-host, Arwen O'Neill.
Hello, Alison. It's great to be here.
So nice to have you once more. Now, in this episode, we're going to be looking at retrograde planets.
Yeah.
Or retrogrades, or planets that are going backwards.
Or that appear to be going backwards.
Or that appear to be going, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Or planets that appear to be going backwards.
Yeah.
So in general, retrograde planets, most of the time, some planets will be retrograde, but not always.
No. The sun and moon never go retrograde.
That's correct.
For quite obvious reasons. If you're looking at a diagram of the solar system, you'll immediately see why. But yeah, all the others do.
So when I was a young astrologer, a young, fresh-faced, keen astrologer, and I had this teacher, and he was quite difficult. And anyway, so he came, we had the one class, and he said, okay, hands up, who's got a retrograde sun?
Oh.
So I'm looking, and So I'm looking and looking and looking, and I'm thinking, I don't think I do. And
that's a quintessential.
Do you have one?
Question.
And she says, no. And he says, has anybody got a retrograde sun? Let's have a show of hands. And eventually there's one woman put her hand. And he said, okay, we need to talk.
Did he kick her out?
No.
Was she the first one voted off the island? The tribe has spoken.
I know. But and what he laid down right there was that this is an astrology joke.
Yeah.
I've actually got a blog post about it. But you try it out on your new astrologers. Okay, who's got a retrograde sun?
Oldest trick in the book.
And they're looking, and the old salts know it's a joke. So good that you pointed out the retrogrades, the lack of retrogradation in the sun and the moon, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's always a joke. And even when I talk about it, when I go to conferences and I say, oh, yeah, with the retrograde sun, blah, blah, blah. Someone's always saying, but the sun is in the retrograde. I said, yes, I know. It's a joke. Okay, lighten up, people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but in general, retrogrades aren't a joke, are they?
Well, no, but they are a trick of the perspective, let's say. They're a trick of having an Earth-centric perspective. What is that called? Like a not heliocentric, but
geocentric.
Geocentric. Thank you. Yeah. So geocentric perspective, which is we understand that it's not like actually going backwards.
Yes.
Duh. You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, we know. but it appears to be retrograde. And for that reason, it matters because it is causing those planets to be in the same sign for longer than they normally would be,
and
they went back into another one. And so it's not that they're going backwards, it's that they are going to be in the same sign for longer, and then they're going back into this previous sign. Yeah, so it is real in a sense, because they're going into the other sign.
Yes, from our perspective, yes,
from our perspective.
Yeah.
But then they're actually, you know, yeah.
Still moving forward, yeah.
Still moving forward,
yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like if you're on a train, you're moving along on a train, and there's a train pulls up next to you that's going slightly slower than you are.
Yes.
And suddenly that train looks like it's going backwards.
Yes.
Although it's not, it's just traveling slower because we are moving faster on Earth.
Exactly.
So it's this illusion.
Yeah. So the other train is not going backwards, but the whole point is that you will actually, if you're trying to time when you get to the station, it absolutely matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So retrogradation is in most charts. I'm sure you've got retrograde planets, do you?
Probably.
Yeah. I do, probably, and most people do. But planets are not retrograde all the time. I know, I think in February in 2024, there was no retrogradation at all. So that's always a good month when there's no retrograde. And then you get times when all the planets tend to be retrograde all in a rash.
Yeah.
A rash of retrogradation, let's call it that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the collective term for
a rash of retrogradation. Is there like a cream that you take?
If you've got a better collective now, you let us know.
Yeah.
So
it's like a murder of crows.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so most of the planets will be retrograde each year. We'll just go through each of the planets in general.
Yeah.
So Mercury will be retrograde 3 times a year.
Yep. For about 3 weeks.
Yeah, every kind of 4 months.
Yeah.
And then Venus is retrograde 5 times in 8 years.
Yeah.
So there are years when Venus is not retrograde, so we need to just pay attention to that.
Yeah. And it's neat, too, if you ever want to look at the pattern that Venus makes, it's gorgeous. It makes this amazing floral swirly pattern.
Five-point pattern, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful. And the myth of Inanna, bringing in my badass goddesses, the myth of Inanna was actually quite a bit based on the Venus retrograde pattern and the gates that she had to shed, the garments to get into the underworld and all that stuff. It's actually based on the retrograde pattern of Venus.
Fantastic. So maybe we can link to that to blog post of yours on that. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where if you Google just, you know, Venus retrograde pattern, you'll find, and then image search, you'll find some amazing animated GIFs.
Yeah.
Which are beautiful.
So this is it. So because Venus is on the 5-8 pattern, five times in 8 years, it's part of the Fibonacci cycle.
Exactly.
So this is why Venus rules every five petal plant. So like roses. But anyway, just that's a by the way.
Yeah.
But the point is that that's where that comes from.
Yeah. And so Venus is retrograde approximately 7 to 8% of the time. So approximately 7 to 8% of people will be born with Venus retrograde in their chart.
Okay.
And apparently some of the keywords for having Venus retrograde in your chart include taking the feeling nature very deeply and seriously. You'll have your social life is taken very seriously. You can be somewhat shy and awkward and have difficulty with small talk and social graces and an aversion to superfluity. And love is extremely important to you, but you might have difficulty in younger years being comfortable with romance and feeling like you're good enough in relationships. So yeah, those are just some keywords.
So this is Venus retrograde in the natal chart.
In the natal chart. Okay. Yeah. So Mars.
So yes. So Mars is retrograde every second year.
Yep. It takes 2 years to go entirely around the zodiac. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that comes around every second year, and then it lingers, loiters with intent, I like to say, in a particular place.
For sure. And if you have Mars retrograde in your chart, it means, generally speaking, you might have, and of course it depends on what sign it's in, but you may have difficulty standing up for yourself, being assertive might be a challenge, and it can stimulate fears of being ineffective or being ineffectual. You might have your desires or your intentions or your achievement orientation might be misunderstood by others, and you might have difficulty in competition or asserting yourself.
Oh,
yeah. It's kind of the way that they say Mercury retrograde creates difficulties in communication and, you know, problems with your computers and like, make sure to back up your, you know, like they always say, like, make sure to back up your stuff and check your travel itineraries a couple times. With Mars, it's similar, but it's to do with all the things that Mars rules. Yeah. So your creativity and your assertion and your expression and your physical activity and things like that. So there might be some sort of a lack of coordination maybe, or just your energy might be uneven, stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah.
So Jupiter, from Jupiter outwards, they're retrograde once a year.
Yep.
All the outer planets from Jupiter onwards are retrograde once a year.
Yeah.
And the outer planets actually start being retrograde when they make the trine to the sun.
Yep.
And then they go direct when they make the other trine to the sun. So that's the sun moves basically 4 months through.
There's an interesting thing about too, this might not be true, so we can just check this, but something to do with the planets being opposite the sun.
Yeah, they're always.
Yeah, so retrograde planets. Yeah, exactly. So that's an interesting thing. So if you have any planets in your chart that are opposite the sun.
Superior planets opposite the sun will be retrograde, such as what you have there.
Yeah, I have Jupiter.
Yes.
Retrograde in my chart.
And Charon and Eris, because they're part of they're within that. Any outer planet opposite the sun will be retrograde.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's kind of interesting too.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jupiter's retrograde about, 4 months, Saturn 4 months-ish. Okay. They're all about the same time because that's how long the sun takes to get round to the next part of the trine.
Yeah.
But the actual retrograde, so typically in a natal chart, you're going to have some planets retrograde as you do, Arwen. Let's own up. Let's have hands up for some retrograde planets there. And so they would be noted as retrograde when doing an interpretation. But there are actually, I just want to say there are actually five parts to the retrograde cycle. So I just want to kind of go through that. So the first part we get in the retrograde cycle is the pre-shadow. So this is when the planet is moving, going direct, but it still hasn't got to the retrograde point.
Yeah.
And it's actually within the shadow period that it will come back to later.
Yeah.
So when a planet goes retrograde, it goes direct, it stations, it goes retrograde, it stations, and it goes back. And that period between the two stations is the shadow.
Yes.
So when a planet is in the pre-shadow, it is starting to slow, it's starting to slow down as it gets to the actual station. So the first phase is the pre-shadow. This is when the planet's within that place where it's going to do a triple hit. Then you get to the actual station retrograde. Now, a planet is technically stationary when it is within 10 minutes of the station position. So it's right at the very end. So for Mercury, it's less than 6 hours, but for Pluto, it can be a couple of days. So anyway, that's the second phase. Then the third phase is the actual retrograde period when it is going backwards, and it will again go back over areas it's already passed over. Then you get the station direct, and again, it will slow down as it comes to the station.
Yeah.
And then we will get the after shadow.
Yes. And that's when it's going forward to the part that it's been retrograde.
Yes.
And eventually it gets back to the normal part and goes forward.
Exactly. Yeah. So you may be born, say, with a planet direct, but it could still be in shadow.
Yeah.
So this is always interesting.
Yeah.
You won't know that just by looking. You have to check.
Yeah.
And, of course, if it's retrograde, we can clearly see you've got some retrograde planets.
Right.
And then, of course, it could be in the after shadow, and you wouldn't necessarily know that, but you might want to check too.
Yeah.
The point is that if you have a planet that is stationary at birth,
yeah,
and Solarfire will give you an S for stationary,
yeah,
you then need to check, is it stationary direct or stationary retrograde?
Yeah.
Because this will be affected within your progressions.
Right. Yeah.
So if you have a stationary retrograde planet in your birth chart, it is stationary retrograde the day you were born, and it will continue to be retrograde by progression for, and my example here is Venus, for 40 yeah. days, i.e. 40 years.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about this from personal experience.
Venus.
Yes.
All the others are longer.
Longer.
Yeah.
So, yes, so I actually have this in my natal chart, that Venus is stationary retrograde.
Wow.
So the day I was born, it's stationary retrograde, and then it was retrograde by progression for 42 long years.
So Venus is just always going to be the same sign for you, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then finally, by progression at age 42, it went direct.
Ooh.
And there was suddenly a releasing of this hesitation, I want to say, about love and money.
Yeah.
And things improved. So you need to watch out for that if you do have something that's stationary, if you're a good astrologer,
yeah,
you're looking for these things,
yeah,
and you need to double check it. So it could be that.
Amazing.
That was a stationary retrograde, but you could also have a stationary direct, which would be a great thing.
Yeah. Well, now I'm wondering about my Jupiter.
Well, yes. Well, your Jupiter is already retrograde. So,
I know, exactly.
So if you do children's charts, which I do quite frequently,
yeah,
if you're paying attention to Mercury, and Mercury goes retrograde like the next year,
yeah,
after they were born, by progression it can be retrograde for 28 years of their life.
Yeah. Wow.
And this will slow down their learning ability at school, and if you're not careful, they get labeled as slow,
yeah,
held back. There are other words that we don't say anymore, but I had one child who had this situation, and we were constantly battling to practice with a pencil, and he got, yeah, no fine motor coordination, couldn't read and write, couldn't speak, couldn't get the words out. So the idea is that if you have someone who's got a Mercury retrograde in their chart, in their natal chart, you need to know what year will it go direct, because it will.
Yeah.
And that will, and if it's hopefully if they're 12 or 14, it will happen when they get to high school, and suddenly they're saying, oh, and little Johnny did so much better when he was in Mrs. Smith's class,
yeah,
than he did when he was in Mrs. Jones's class. Because his Mercury went direct.
Poor Mrs. Jones gets labeled a terrible teacher, but really it's just his Mercury.
Yes.
Oh.
And all the other therapists that are hanging on and with a handout. So,
and all the prescriptions that are just lining up to be. Yeah.
Ritalin. We got to know Ritalin. So anyway.
Yeah.
But that is interesting. And as an astrologer, if you're doing charts, particularly for children, you want to check that Mercury retrograde. So that's just one thing, by the way. That's just a by the way.
That's one more thing to be worried about as a parent.
And maybe we'll talk about it more when we do an actual deep dive into Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, so let's just go back to something to point out about when Venus is retrograde.
Yeah.
So there's two ways of looking at it. You've either got it in your natal chart or you haven't. But if we're looking about transiting Venus retrograde, this is a very important planet for when you're getting married. So if you're deciding you're going to get married in August, but Venus is actually going to go retrograde the day after you get married, it's not advisable. Because what it means is that Venus will actually be retrograde by progression for 40 years of that marriage.
Nice.
So you are always better off getting married after Venus has gone direct, and hopefully 7 days at least after the stationary direct.
Interesting.
And this actually works as well for Uranus. If you get married when Uranus is going to go retrograde the next day, it technically means that by progression it'll be the next year. And we know Uranus is the planet that rules divorce, and the breakups occur because it's gone retrograde.
Wow.
So if you're interested in, and you're going to be getting married and tying the knot officially, you do need to be very careful when you choose your wedding date that you haven't got Venus and or Uranus retrograde, particularly.
Yeah.
And ideally, you want nothing retrograde, but they usually are, but you don't want Venus or Uranus retrograde for wedding charts.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we already talked a bit about Mars retrograde, and so I have Jupiter retrograde. And
you do.
I do. Here are some key words. So people who have Jupiter retrograde in their charts have, they tend to have a different or unique perspective or belief system or set of morals. They don't tend to get their set of morals from society, apparently, and I can sort of attest to that. They prefer to learn on their own and take their own experiences rather than inheriting a belief system. And because they feel intrinsically lucky, they tend to, you know, plan their future and their actions with their own sort of belief system in mind, instead of just feeling like, well, this is the way it's always been done or whatever. So they might actually, you know, feel like what they're doing, they've kind of earned it, as opposed to, you know, this is just because I've subscribed to this sort of belief system, which is interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know sometimes if they say that if you have a retrograde Jupiter, it's like having a second Saturn in your chart.
Oh, wow.
And by the same token, if you have a retrograde Saturn, it's like having two Jupiters in your chart. So that's one way of looking at it.
Boy, I thought I was lucky. And now I'm like, I just have two Saturns.
And it works the same with Mars and Venus. If you've got Mars retrograde, it's like having a second Venus. And if you have Venus retrograde, it's like having a second Mars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. Yeah. So looking at your chart, we would have to dig a little deeper to determine when did it go direct by progression, which may have been occurred already. I would have to check. We don't really haven't got the time to do that now, but that would be something that I would urge you to find out if that was the case.
Sure. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that brings us to Saturn.
Saturn retrograde.
I mean, it's as you say, it's about once a year. And for people who have this in their chart, there can be feelings of self-doubt, internalized fears, feelings that they are vulnerable, like especially vulnerable to society's structures, and, you know, possibly feeling like there's too many responsibilities, or there are too many restrictions on them. There's too much discipline. There's too much, I don't know, order. Kind of like the super disciplinary family, possibly. Like I'm thinking, just like a Mormon family. No, I mean, you know, but like a lot of rules, a lot of etiquette, and they may be, and even if they're not born into a family that's especially rule conscious, they may feel just anxious and nervous and socially awkward with retrograde Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too that when planets are retrograde natally, it brings a hesitation in using the energies of that planet.
Yeah.
So, for instance, with someone with Saturn retrograde, they hesitate to formulate plans.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it's a
hesitation. Or to take authority in some way.
Yeah. They hesitate to step into these roles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You've got that as well. But again, you know, you need to check when it's going to go direct, which sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
But if it's going to be, and if this is your client, you want to say, oh, and by the way, next year, Your Saturn will go direct by progression, and this is a good thing. And it is, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So let's have a look at then at Uranus retrograde, which, I mean, it happens.
So it's symbolized by a fear of new technologies or improvements. This is the Luddite placement.
people the blood out placement,
right? People who might hide their eccentricities or be afraid of standing out, or afraid of being seen as unique, or afraid of or
different.
Yeah. Exactly. Afraid of rebelling, but yet there's this rebellion that's sort of a barely held in check sort of rebellion. Yeah,
it's a tricky one. It really is. Yeah. And then after Uranus, we've got Neptune retrograde.
Yeah. So these people might hide their vulnerabilities or their spiritual side or their compassion. They might have difficulty expressing their creative side or their compassionate side or their mystical side. They might feel this is possibly this could be like an extreme. What's it called? A rabid atheist someone who's like an extreme, show me the proof kind of guy, they're mistrustful. They might not know when to trust their own intuition.
Right.
And they might fear their own sort of dreams and inspirations and not feel like it's ever good enough or trustworthy enough. Mm-hmm. What they sort of feel like. As a deep down kind of intuition.
Isn't this like the anguished artist who keeps reworking the same piece?
Yeah, it's not good enough. It's not creative enough. And then Googling it. Oh, has someone else done this already?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Just do it. Just create something. If someone else has already done it,
Cares, when you've got retrograde planets, they do reduce the effect of the planet within your natal chart. Mm. They can never be strong planets when they're retrograde. And unfortunately, if it's your chart ruler and you've got a retrograde chart ruler, it really weakens that planet.
Yeah.
And at that point, you need to look to another chart for a more prominent position.
Yeah. It's interesting. We don't think of Neptune as being a really strong planet, but at the same time, it's really, there's something sad about just the Neptune retrograde. It's a very distrustful, sort of anxious sort of position, which is unfortunate.
Hesitation. It's a hesitation. Yeah.
And they won't trust their own intuition or other people, saying, just go with it. And they're like, no, but what about, about this that could happen,
I agree. Yeah. So then we've got Pluto retrograde, which.
Yeah.
There's a thing.
Yeah, really. And it's. I'm reading some keywords here, to be honest.
Okay.
And it's interesting because it says that people with Pluto retrograde in their charts may be more inclined to feel fear of being controlled, manipulated, or betrayed than those with Pluto direct. But who these days isn't afraid of being manipulated and betrayed? It's almost like we're living in a Pluto retrograde era, in the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. Who isn't afraid of that? It's almost like
identity theft,
and fraud, and the alternate truths and alternate facts and all of that stuff. It's I feel like we are definitely all living through a Pluto retrograde phase right now. And that's not how it works, but it says they don't readily let others know their desire for power and control. So it's like someone who wants to be in control, but is afraid to let other people know.
Right,
This is a very survival island kind of aspect. It's like you have to hide your agenda.
There's a hesitation to grasp the power.
Yeah.
Or the talking stick or whatever it is.
You want to grasp it.
Yes.
It's not like me where you're just let other people decide. It's no, they want it, but they're afraid.
Exactly. And let's face it, if you've got retrograde planets, they are not prominent.
Yeah.
So there's kind of background noise often, planets where you've got other planets in your chart shouting from the rooftops.
Yeah.
So it's only through interpretation of charts do you actually get to realize this is going on in the background. It's kind of a background thing. Mm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So do we have any thoughts there about Chiron retrograde? It's it pops up now and again in people's charts where there's perhaps a hesitation to guide, to teach, or to be the guru, or feeling I don't really know enough to teach anybody anything, or I don't know enough, and who'd want to listen to me anyway if I started a blog or a podcast?
Oh, gosh, that doesn't sound like anyone I know.
That doesn't sound like anyone you know. No, of course not. But this is where it's coming from.
That makes sense.
Yeah, this is it's a hesitation to put yourself forward as someone who even knows anything or has an opinion, and that's Chiron retrograde. So
interesting.
There.
Yeah. And you, what do you have retrograde in your chart?
I've just got two delightful planets that are retrograde. So first up, I've got Mercury.
Ah.
And although it's Conjuring the Ascendant and Trine the Midheaven and all that well-placedness, it took me a long, long time to get to the part of being the teacher, being the writer, being the blogger, and having an opinion. And of course, there's no stopping me now.
Right.
But as a child, as a young person, I was very much, I wouldn't say I was mute, but I would toe the party line.
Yeah.
You know, I was brought up, this is what you do. You behave like this. Keep your mouth shut.
Interesting.
And children are seen and not heard. And that's what I went with till I was like 18.
Wow.
And then it as Mercury went direct by progression, I started having an opinion about this and that and the other. And then it just all...
And then there was no stopping you.
Then there was no stopping me because it won't go retrograde again. So the point is that it took me a long time, and I would say to probably till I was about 35 before I started saying, I have something to contribute here.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am still, you know, 20 years later,
now,
telling you
internet,
this, talking about
there's no stopping
me. No stopping you. So, you know, it's, yes, I'm not much of a texter, but I do have a lot to say. I've got an opinion on everything. Unfortunately, so if you ask me, you know, do these pants make me look fat? I will give you an opinion.
Well, I mean, sometimes you actually want an honest answer. sometimes you want to come to the person who will actually tell you the truth and be like, don't wear that.
But where it's coming to, it stood me in good stead is that because I did a lot of research into astrology in my early years by reading everything that came along and doing every calculation that ever was invented, now I know, and I can talk about all sorts of things regarding astrology.
Yeah.
It's not just from like three books I read or something like
that. Exactly. And you also went to a formal teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, what I hear, an incredibly strict, kind of like my grandmother's drawing teacher, who was like, learn to see. Like she would constantly tell me as I was learning to draw from her, learn to see. Look at that. Is that what you've drawn? No. Look at what you're seeing. Have you drawn that? No.
This
and it sounds like you had the same kind
this
of astrology teacher.
Because with the astrology, when you are interpreting for people, you might look at them and think, oh, yeah, her problems, this, that, and the other. Mm. But only talk about the astrology.
Yeah.
And that is the subtlety, to cut that out, that opinion, and say, what is the astrology saying? Well, the astrology is saying this or that or the moon square the sun, and therefore X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, yes, but I happen to know that her sun, blah, blah. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because then you're getting her, I want to say skewed opinion. If you let the astrology speak to you and read the astrology as a language in the chart, well, this is me. This is how I do it.
No, I think that's actually interesting because that's one of the things that, you know, kind of modern technology has actually made better because most of the time you're not going to know the people, you're not even going to see the people who are coming to you for a chart interpretation. They're just going to send you a bunch of data and you're going to be like, well, here's what I think.
Yes.
You're not even going to see their faces. You're not going to know how, like you'll know how old they are from their data, but you won't know what they look
background.
Like. You won't know what career they have.
Sometimes we don't know their gender.
No, exactly. You won't know what class or what style they're, anything like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as a language, I find this is what I like about astrology, that it's the symbology of it is where I go. When I don't know what the answer is, I look at the actual, rather than, well, I thought blah, 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 because that's what she told me last week.
Right.
No, stick to what does the astrology say?
Yeah.
Because they don't always tell you.
Yeah.
They tell you what the thing you want to know.
It's
so,
just,
you know, it's like you're saying, well, are you having an affair with the neighbor? No, but you know that.
The astrology, well, they've got Venus in the 12th house.
Yes.
Where, Saturn. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other planet I have retrograded is actually Saturn, but although it did go direct pretty shortly after I was born.
Yeah.
That is another one where I felt held back. I was limited. And it really was the same thing that, what do I know? I mean, who am I? I'm just a nobody person. And then I started saying, well, I do know this. And people were coming to me for questions. And that's how it all began.
Yeah.
So then I started structuring and laying things out in the classes I teach and the books I've written are organized beyond belief, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the... that's how I see that Saturn Express. Although it's a very quiet Saturn for me because it's in Capricorn, so it's minding its own business. It's not really a difficult Saturn for
me. I mean, that's also in its own.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's just minding its own business. That's not my problem planet at all. So, but it is still retrograde, so it wasn't prominent. That's the point. It was there was a hesitation in doing these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So in closing, I mean, just look at your chart, see what you have retrograde. And it's kind of like It's interesting. If anyone, if there's like an overlap of people who are into tarot, who also are into astrology, which I'm sure there are tons, it's like the upside down.
Oh,
the reversed
tarot
card. Yeah. Oh, the reversed any card.
Very good.
Oh, you went to tower right away. Oh. Yeah, but it's like any reversed card. It's like, it's kind of the opposite, but yet it's kind of like, just pay attention to it. You know, it's not like the opposite forever.
But exactly.
If you have a retrograde planet in your chart, it's like, ooh, pay attention to this, because this is something where you're going to need to go over it and back and over it and back and over it and back until you've mastered it.
Yes.
Because that is how it works with progressions. And it's just something, it's a little extra focus where you kind
of, it is.
You know, and it's not, we'll talk more at some point. We're going to do like an entire Mercury retrograde episode. Because that's the big one that everybody knows. It's one of those things like Saturn return, where everybody, even if they don't know astrology, they've heard of Mercury retrograde.
Yes.
But any retrograde planet, it's basically just, it's an extra bit of focus that you need to give to that planet in your chart. And just say, well, this needs a little more nurturing, a little more like attention, a little more TLC.
You've got to bring it forward.
Yeah.
And I know we didn't say much about transiting retrograde planets, because the planets are retrograding all the time as we speak. And basically what it means is if it crosses the area of the chart where you have planets, you're going to get a three-year transit to that.
Yeah, actually, that's a super important thing to mention too, because we've talked before about like Saturn returns and Chiron returns, and how it's like a triple hit or whatever.
Yes.
The reason that happens is because of retrogrades. So that is super important.
It is. So if you've got a planet that's retrograding this year, that's going to cross over, say, your sun, retrograde, you're going to get a three-hit transit from that planet.
Yeah.
These are really the outer planets. When we look at, actually, interestingly, when we look at Eris will do a 13-hit to one point, but it is moving incredibly slowly.
Oh, my God.
But just this, by the way, so yeah.
Wow.
Now and again, you can get a 5-hit from Pluto.
Yeah.
It just depends on where it's landing as it crosses, because it actually retrogrades and goes back over its previous retrograde area.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too. If you've got a retrograde coming up and you happen to know that, for instance, Mars is going to retrograde in, I don't know, where is it? In Aries, and it's going to retrograde across your sun or something, you're going to get a 3-hit retrograde. And
I had a terrible Pluto transit back in 2010, and it just went back and forth, and it was awful. And it was like
the 7-hit. Yes.
Oh, it was right on the dates too. It was like, no, why does this keep happening? What's going on? I felt like the world was ending. Oh,
yes.
God.
So back in the day, 2002, I had a triple hit Mars return. So Mars went direct, retrograde, and direct on my Mars. So it was a 3-hit Mars return.
Yeah.
And that was when I actually finally got off the couch and started this business.
Nice.
Back in the day. And suddenly it dawned on me, hey, why don't I do this?
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be on any planet. If you get in the return, and you certainly get this with Saturn return, you can get a triple hit Saturn return.
Yeah.
It will be more effective for you on the return than otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing too. Like with the Saturn return, the first one, I felt that day, like when Saturn returned,
your knees twinged.
Oh my God, I felt like I was having an anxiety attack. I probably did, actually. But then the next, it came back, and it was like life had improved. But it was like, that was a low point, was like the first hit, the Saturn return.
Yes.
And that's frequently how retrogrades work. It's like the first hit is just like, bam. And
the first hit is the deepest.
Back, and you're like,
baby, you know. Yeah.
It's karaoke night at Starsology.
So
it gets better. Hashtag it gets better.
So there's many ways to look at this through natal, where it is natally, and what's coming up by transit. Pay attention to these things, and we learn to navigate. It's just some subtle ways to interpret a chart, and I do think the retrograde planets natally are never prominent, because they can't be.
Yeah.
And always there will be other planets that are more bossy and standing forward and saying, hey, look at me, and you go with those. Yeah. Okay, so listeners, if you found value in this episode, do consider sharing it with somebody else who may be interested. If you have any astrologically related questions, you can email us at starsology stars.ology@gmail.com. And you can check out our website at starsology.com.
Yeah.
So with this being a retrograde episode, we will no doubt come back and revisit it at some point. Yeah. And we will certainly be doing a Mercury retrograde special, because that is really needs quite a bit of a deep dive.
Indeed. Yeah.
So I want to thank you, Arwen, for joining me again today to talk about retrogrades and share some of your deep and important retrograde planets in your chart.
Yeah, ditto. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer, or someone who's learning astrology, or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.